and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will go and explain everything for you. It has a the, it has an animation, and it has a podcast. You combine that all together and it makes the Animation Podcast. But specifically, something that it doesn't tell you in the title is that it talks about the latest news in animation that happened this week. Which, for example, in today's episode, I will be discussing about the announcement of the Angry Birds Movie 2. Then afterwards, we will be looking into a little thing that occurred that might actually become big to the point that we could be seeing Canadian unions for animators. And then afterwards, we will be looking into the new writers for The Croods 2. And then afterwards, we will be discussing about a special screening for one of the newer Lupin the Third movies, along with apparently an announcement going on. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook. That is film-book.com by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, our first story that we need to go and discuss today. And by the way, I just want to mention quickly, I'll try my best, guys. I shall try my best to seem a bit more professional because I know that last time a lot of people did complain that I would say the words pretty much a lot. But I'll try. I'll try to do my best to try to minimize that. I'll try to minimize words like or pretty much. Or, like, the stutterings, or any of those, I'll try my best. It's not easy. It's not, trust me, and it's especially not easy for me, but I'll try my best. But anyhow, let's go on into the story, and let's discuss about one of the movies that has, already I'm screwing up, well, what do you know? We'll discuss about one of the movies that has been released this year, which is the Angry Birds movie. Now, this is the kind of movie that people either like, or people, they would pretty much hate it. It's almost in the same lines as the Minions movie, because the title pretty much explains everything for you. It is the Angry Birds movie. Just by that alone, you can already judge if either you're going to have fun with it, or it's absolutely stupid. With me, personally, I've seen the film, and I thought it was okay. I mean, basically, the writing is not all that good, but my god, the animation is just amazing. I absolutely adore it, and it's probably one of the best recent examples of using cartoony animation. Like, it definitely uses that style very well for a computer animated feature. But outside of that, it seems that in terms of how it did financially, like at the box office, it actually did very well. Nothing to really brag about in the levels of like what Disney is doing with movies like Zootopia and Finding Dory, but it still did pretty good for itself. It actually almost made a total of $350 million worldwide. This also includes $107 million domestically. So it actually did pretty well, and through the reports that I have heard, apparently for Ravio, they have actually made some pretty good profit that doesn't include any of the apps. Like, I heard they made around, like, I think $90 million US. In terms of euros, it was like 78 or something like that. But anyways, it actually did manage to find some profit just through the Angry Birds movie alone. And, well, that seems to be pretty good news. And with that said, they decided that since the first Angry Birds movie was a hit, they are going to do a sequel to the film. Going into my source here through Variety, it has stated a sequel to the Angry Birds movie is in the works at Finland-based Ravio Entertainment Limited, the maker of the Angry Birds mobile game. With the excellent performance of our game portfolio and the fantastic movie, the Angry Birds brand is flying high, and we are seeing positive EBIT and cash flow development while fulfilling our mission to create world-class entertainment, says the Ravio CEO Katie Levoranta, who stated that. We currently have several exciting new games and other projects in development, including new IP, and we have started planning on the sequel to the Angry Birds movie. Now, I just want to state right now that there is nothing else that they have announced. We don't know if the directors, Fergal Reilly or Clay Cadis, is coming back. We don't really have any words, but it could be a high possibility. We don't know if many of the cast members are going to be coming back, like Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, Danny McBride, Peter something. Fudge Nabbit. Ah, man, I'm stupid with names. Anyways, you get what I'm talking about. Like, we don't know who specifically is going to be coming back among the cast, but all we know so far is that they are going to make an Angry Birds movie sequel. Now, if I can be honest, if I can lay down my thoughts onto having a sequel to the Angry Birds movie, I will state this. As I previously stated, I thought it was okay. It was mostly, the writing is a bit weak, but the animation is definitely fantastic. But for me, I feel like with the Angry Birds movie, they did their best with the material that they're given. Let's be honest, guys. Just the idea of making a movie based on Angry Birds, a little mobile game where you just, like, you just fling birds through a slingshot in order to get eggs from green limbless pigs, like, it's stupid. I mean, that, like, there's no way anybody can make this into a masterpiece. Like, you can't really take crap and you polish it into gold, you know what I mean? The idea itself, it's just dumb. But I do have to give credit to the writers, to the directors, Clay Cadis and Fergal Reilly, and especially I have to give credit to the animators, because they did manage to pull something out that came out better than, arguably, than what it should be. Now, I know that there are some people, I know that there are some people who didn't enjoy it, and yeah, technically it is a stupid kids movie in a sense, but at least, like, they did manage to do something that works as an Angry Birds movie. I'll give it credit that there are some funny moments that did come out of it. I've already stated, this is some of the best animation that we've seen this year so far, like, almost up there in the ranks of, like, Kubo and the Two Strings and Zootopia. And even Finding Dory, like, it's definitely up there in that level. It's definitely fantastic. And some of the characters, like, there are a few enjoyable ones at the least. I definitely enjoyed the pigs, especially Leonard, voiced by Bill Hader. Some of the characters are different. Peter Dinklage! There we go, sorry. I just remembered one of the characters. It's like, yeah, the Mighty Eagle is voiced by Peter Dinklage. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Anyways, going back into this, as I was stating, yes, they did manage to pull out something that can be, at the very least, entertaining. And, you know, like, something that is a rental that you could just show the kids, they could be distracted, you know, it does its job very well. Like, this is definitely something that I can imagine kids will definitely eat up. And I can even imagine that they'll enjoy it a lot more than most other movies out, like the ones that I stated, like Kubo and the Two Strings and Zootopia, because this is one that's more geared towards kids than, like, a family picture that's both for kids and adults to appreciate, that works very well as a movie. So it's more of a feature film towards them, that at the very least they did manage, you know, to really make something out of the Angry Birds movie. Now, does that mean that it's a good idea to make a sequel? Like, can they think up of ideas? Honestly, that's where I'm a little bit confused, actually. I don't know, like, what direction can you go, because with the Angry Birds game, it's such a simple concept. You got birds, they are angry, you throw the, like, you pitch them through a slingshot, you try to kill off green pigs, and you go get eggs. That's basically that's basically the plot of the games, and that's basically the entirety of the third act of the Angry Birds movie. So that's basically the idea. How can you continue that? I don't know. And I do understand that, yes, there is a sequel to the Angry Birds game. There is an actual Angry Birds 2, but I think it's more following in the same veins. Like, the only thing that is updated is not necessarily the story, but more the, you know, the game, like, more, what was it? Like, the upgrades, like, mostly new birds, new weapons, like, new extra stuff. Like, more new things that are more associated for games than it is for Angry Birds. Or for a movie, actually. Now, how can they continue that? What kind of plot can they think about? That is going to be a real mystery for me. Like, how can you continue the story of the Angry Birds movie? Do you do the same thing and have, you know, try to have this cartoon scenario where the pigs are just continuously trying to steal eggs and the birds are trying to try to get it back? I don't know. Like, what more can you do with the Angry Birds movie? And that's honestly the real mystery. And and also the factor of seeing these characters back, I don't know. Like, it's not like the Secret Life of Pets, where it absolutely has franchise material, where maybe the movie that they were featured in, it's not necessarily the best, but the characters are absolutely memorable, and they're one of the strongest assets of the movie. Like, at least in that regard, that ends up being what, like, that sorry about that. Let me just rephrase that a little bit. That, like, that aspect right there, that's what makes the sequel a lot more exciting to be anticipated for, you know, because we do want to see those characters back on the big screen. With the Angry Birds movie, on the other hand, are they really, like, franchise material? Like, do we really want to see the comeback of Red or Chuck or Bomb or any of these characters come back? I don't necessarily know, because the characters aren't necessarily the strongest suit of the movie. It's more the animation than anything else. So I don't know how are they going to really level up, no pun intended, to what they've already done with the Angry Birds movie. It's just, I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, the more difficult it is to imagine what can they do with another Angry Birds movie. Maybe you guys are probably excited to see more Angry Birds movie. Maybe you guys aren't, but if you have an idea about what could possibly happen, then you could probably share it, you know? That could be a good idea, but we'll have to wait and see. We don't have a release date about it, but considering they are in the works, this could be another one that we're not really going to see for a while. And considering that it was announced back in 2013 that they announced the Angry Birds movie? I can imagine, in terms of the sequel, if they do decide to fully go with it, as of right now, then we could probably expect it either in 2019 or 2020. Either way, let's just see how it goes when they're going to make the Angry Birds movie too. Okay, so for our next story, it's going to be related with the biggest story that occurred last week and one of the biggest controversies that happened this year regarding the production of Sausage Party. As you guys know, the production of that film was an absolute nightmare, with many unnamed animators who remained, who rather want to keep themselves anonymous, that apparently, during the production, not only did they have to, like, mandatorily work overtime for free, even, to work on the film, but also many of them were not credited. And that is mostly due to the abuse and the tyranny of one of the directors, Greg Tiernan. Well, apparently, there is a little bit of a response to that. And this is actually, going into my source here in Cartoon Brew, this is actually regarding the local Unifor 2000, which that one is actually the representative of many workers in Vancouver, and that's basically Vancouver's work union. And they don't have a response, like, they don't have one that would be represented specifically for animators, but they decided to do something about it. Once again, going into my source in Cartoon Brew, Vancouver-based union Local Unifor 2000, which represents roughly 800 media workers, filed a third-party complaint last Friday with Canada's Employment Standards Branch against Sausage Party animation producer Nitrogen Studios Canada over allegations that the company failed to pay overtime while working on the film. We are aware of serious allegations that Nitrogen did not pay some of its animators overtime, and we formally asked the Employment Standards Branch to investigate, said Jennifer Moreau, Vice President of Unifor Local 2000, in a press statement. Many of these animators are too scared to come forward. That's why we filed the third-party complaint. They are afraid that they will be blacklisted and denied future employment in what's essentially a small, tight-knit community, where they go from contract to contract. Workers tell us that the companies use loopholes classifying their work as high-tech or contract work to get around basic employment standards. Now, going into this, basically, the Local Unifor 2000, they decided to do the job for the animators to go and register a complaint, to go to Canada's Employment Standards Branch to investigate what's actually going on inside Nitrogen Studios during the production of Sausage Party. And for me, I feel like this is the beginning of something that could possibly be big. Something that could forever change how Canadian animation will go. Because, honestly, as I stated in the last podcast, one of the big things that I said was that I want to see a Canadian animation union occur due to this production. And this could actually be something, you know, this could actually be the start of something. And, like I also stated in the last podcast, one of the biggest reasons this is actually occurring is because there is no union in Canada. There is no union for animators inside Canada or in Vancouver or wherever. This is actually because companies like Sony is pretty much moving their visual effects and animation facility onto Vancouver, because it's a lot more cheaper and they don't have to worry about little things like unions and standards and all that kind of stuff, so that, you know, they can keep production costs low in order to make their movies. And especially with animated films, usually they are very expensive. Which, like, for Sony, this is a dream scenario that they can make something like Sausage Party, and it's actually going very well at the box office with a really small budget of estimatedly $19 million. But this should technically not happen. If this is happening because of very poor practices that occur, then it's not necessarily the best idea. And not only does it reflect poorly on Nitrogen Studios and even some of the directors working on it, like Greg Tiernan, but also this reflects badly on Sony Pictures actually letting this happen, you know? So I feel like with what Local Unifor 2000 is doing, this could actually start the start of something new. This could open up the eyes of Canada's Employment Standards Branch, and like they'll see what's actually been going on inside inside cities like Vancouver in terms of what's going on with how animators are treated and stuff like that. So you never know, maybe we will start seeing action being taken place, and we will actually have a Canadian union for animators so that they don't have to worry about stuff like this actually happening to them, and they don't have to live in fear throughout their whole lives that if they end up snitching one of the projects they're working on, they'll no longer have a job. So at the very least, this could be something grand. This could be the start of something new, and this could actually, in a way, maybe I'm exaggerating when I'm saying this, but you know, this could be the start of something big in terms of the animation industry in general. This could forever change how people are going to make and not only animated films, but also movies that require a lot of special effects, considering that a lot of them are pretty much made in Canada. you never know how it's going to go. Like, this could be a situation in which Sony has to pretty much change their plans, because chances are it's going to be a lot more expensive to work, to pay their animators and to do all that kind of stuff, because they kind of have no choice but to treat their animators like freaking human beings. And you never know, like, this could probably be a huge game changer in order for the animators, the little guys working on the movies, to actually have their right, in order to have, like, what they're supposed to happen, to ensure that something like Sausage Party might never happen. You never know, because, like, Sausage, like, maybe, maybe I'm just saying this, but Sausage Party could be something that could trigger something new. This could be the life-changing production history that'll forever change the way that animators work in Canada. This could be the wake-up call that Canadian animators can pretty much work for the better. They don't have to worry about being abused, about taking so much of their time away, about not getting paid, and all that kind of stuff. They'll be happy working on these animated projects. And who knows, like, you know, this could be the start of something beautiful. At least, like, maybe this is not going to happen, but what Local Unifor is doing, you know, this is actually phenomenal. This is a step in a great direction. And especially, one thing I believe that it could be great is that, like animators won't have to live in fear anymore. Like one of the biggest reasons why we don't have any names of who said what regarding anime, like what happened in terms of Sausage Party, is because they're scared to actually call out their names so that they might not get a job afterwards, you know? Like, if they said that bad things happen at Sausage Party, they might no longer get a chance to work at any other studio, because the dude is a snitch. He's a tattletale, basically. And if there's one thing that animation companies hate, is tattletalers. So if this actually happens, there would be no more consequences if animation studios do something wrong or they do something bad that ultimately led to the mistreatment of their animators. So hopefully we'll see something great out of this. But for now, this is just a step in the right direction, and hopefully we will actually see justice for the animators who worked on Sausage Party. And who knows, maybe by the time when it's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray, we'll get the full credits of the animators, they'll get fully paid, and, you know, peace will be restored, and it's going to be okay once again to actually like Sausage Party. For our next story right here, this is something that's a lot like the Angry Birds movie 2, is that I don't know if I'm necessarily excited for this sequel. I don't hate it. It's okay. It's just, I don't know. Is it really going to do something really special? And what I am talking about is going to be regarding The Croods 2. As you guys may know, The Croods 2 has been delayed from Christmas 2017 to somewhere in 2018. We still don't know when it's going to be released specifically, but there might be a bit of an explanation for the delay. It's because they have hired brand new writers to work on The Croods 2. Specifically, they have hired the writers Kevin and Dan Higman. Previously, Kevin and Dan, they have actually worked on a few animated films, one of which being the Lego Movie, which is why DreamWorks decided to bring them in order to work on The Croods 2. And, that's pretty much it regarding what the news is pretty much about. If you guys don't know, regarding Kevin and Dan Higman, not only have they helped out writing on the Lego Movie, but they have also worked on several other projects as well. They are helping out with Guillermo del Toro on some projects, including Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and also the Netflix animated series Troll Hunter, as well as they have previously done some writing for the Lego Ninjago series, which is Ninjago Masters of Spinjitzu, and they are also currently, or maybe they finished writing, but they are going to be the writers of the Lego Ninjago movie. And the first job that they've had is that they also helped out writing the script of Hotel Transylvania. So with that said, like I previously stated before, I'm not necessarily too big on the Croods. You know, my feeling towards that movie, it's somewhere very similar to the Angry Birds movie, where, you know, it's okay, it's not necessarily the best. The animation is definitely fantastic. Other than that, the writing is not really that great, and also, one thing I would like to add is that this one is another movie where it feels like it's geared more for kids than it is for families, for kids and adults alike. It's just, I don't know, it's not necessarily DreamWorks' strongest movie, but I guess this is one that they can pull out and try to make a franchise out of it. They already got a Netflix 2D animated series out recently, so might as well go and make another Croods 2. But in terms of bringing in Kevin and Dan Hagman, I don't know if that really says anything, if this is going to really improve the Croods 2, or if this is really going to, you know, if this actually means something for this movie. Because technically, in terms of the writing, Kevin and Dan Hagman, they have yet to fully prove themselves if they can be legitimate writers on their own. Because the first movie that, like, we're going to see their full potential as writers is going to be the Lego Ninjago movie. Now, some people can already say that, oh, they technically, like, did that with the Lego Ninjago series. But I mean in terms of animated features. Because, like, when you look at the credits that they've done for the Lego movie and Hotel Transylvania, they're not the full-on writers. They're not the ones that, like, they take full credit to be, like, the major writers who thought up of the idea for movies like The Lego Movie and Hotel Transylvania. They're just on the side, you know? They're just the guys who are pretty much, like, giving out a helping hand to give out ideas, you know? They're not the ones who are fully credited. Like, with The Lego Movie, it's when we think about the writers, it's mostly Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And when we think about Hotel Transylvania, it's not really these guys. It's mostly, who cares? The writing sucks on that film anyways. But yeah, like, for me, it just doesn't necessarily say much if they really are going to bring in some quality for the Croods too. Or at the very least, if they're really going to find ways to really elevate the Croods into something that, like, that can be more than what it already is now. It doesn't really say that much to me. And, you know, but I will say this, is this bit of news gonna make me more excited for the Croods 2? Not really. Is it really going to lower my standards for the Croods 2? Not either. This just tells me that they have hired some writers in order to work on the Croods 2, and is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, honestly. I'm not putting too high of expectations on it, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see with how the Croods 2 will be when it's going to be released somewhere in 2018, where I don't really know. Now for our next story, it's going to be about a recent film, but it's going to be getting a special screening, but with a little bit of a bonus. And what I'm going to be talking about is going to be Lupin the Third! Yes, specifically though, it's going to be about one of the more recent films, Lupin the Third, Jigen's Gravestone. And going into my source here, going from Anime News Network, the official website of the Lupin the Third, website of the Lupin the Third Jigen's Gravestone anime film announced on Tuesday that the film will get a special screening event at Tokyo Shinjuku Walled 9 Theater on September 9th. Director Takeshi Koike, composer James Shimoji, scriptwriter Yuna Takahashi, and producer Yu Kiyozo will be present at the screening, which will feature an announcement. And for those of you who don't know what the movie is about, the film tells the story of how Lupin and Jigen became partners. The two undertake a heist in a forfeited country, and Jigen's life is threatened by a skilled sniper. And with that said, was it not released? It also mentions that Discotech Media released the movie on Blu-ray and DVD with an English dub and English subtitle on April 5th. Okay, no, maybe, okay, like, if you guys want to get it either in the English dub or English, or, like, just have the English sub or whatever, you can pretty much go and get the Blu-ray and DVD right now. But, with that said, considering that they are going to have Lupin the Third, have this Lupin the Third movie, in a special screening, that's not necessarily the bit of news. What is the bit of news is that they are going to have a little announcement. That is what makes it pretty interesting. And I did think a little bit of what it's going to be. We don't necessarily know of what they're planning. We don't know if they have a special idea. They just said that they are going to have an announcement for it. And I did do a little bit of a thinking of what it could be. I did do a little bit of research of how the Lupin the Third franchise is going. And I might have a little bit of an idea of what they might do. Because think about it. In this decade, they decided to put a little less focus on Lupin himself and decided to take a look on some of the other characters. In 2012, they have an anime series called Lupin the Third, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine, decided to put a lot more focus on Fujiko more so than Lupin. And then, of course, we also got this movie, Lupin the Third, Jigen's Gravestone, which also puts emphasis on Jigen more than ever. Like, Lupin is not just the star. Like, they also have Jigen in a more prominent role than usual. He's not just the sidekick in this case. Now, I thought about that. So, nowadays, they want to focus on the other characters, like Fujiko and Jigen. What I'm thinking this announcement could be is that we are going to see either another anime or another movie of Lupin the Third, but this time, it will focus a lot more on either Aizakawa or Fudgen Abbott, I forgot his name. Hold on a sec, let me just take a moment to look that up. Fudgen Abbott, I know who it is. I just looked it up, and I was like, okay, it's Isaac Howard and this guy. Oh my god, Fudgen Abbott. I know who I want to say, but Fudgen Abbott has somehow escaped my mind. Okay, hold on a sec. If Google can pretty much work with me right now. Okay, but you get what I mean. It's pretty much Fudgen Abbott, it just broke down. Hold on a sec. Oh my god, it's not working with me in ways that I want. Hold on. Stay with me, folks. I know exactly what I'm trying to say. Hold on a sec. Okay. Lupin 3. Characters. Yes. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Finally. Okay, now back on track. What I was trying to say is that we could be seeing either an anime or a movie which will focus a lot more on either Aizakawa or Zenigata. So what I can imagine, or Goem, or I guess you can either say Aizakawa or Goemon or whatever. But as I was saying, what I can imagine is that they'll have either one of those, that we could be either looking into the origins of Aizakawa and how he would meet up with Lupin the Third and all that kind of stuff. Like, we'll see a little bit of his origin story of how he became one of the most deadly and one of the greatest samurai warriors out there. Or we can also see a spin-off film of Zenigata, where we're going to see him for a very rare moment outside of trying to go and capture Lupin the Third and see how he would do normally in a case. Or we'll see his origin story, like how he ended up becoming the detective we know today before he would eventually try to go and capture Lupin the Third in an Elmer Fudd Bugs Bunny style. So that is a bit of my prediction of what they're going to do with that announcement. Either that, or maybe they're just going to announce, like, maybe there's another game, or they have a new Lupin the Third series, or Lupin the Third movie. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's pretty much my best bet. Now, for you anime fans, if you know, like, if you are a fan of Lupin the Third, if you think you have an idea of what they could do with Lupin the Third or what they're going to do with that announcement, you can write down in the comments below regarding your thoughts. That would be pretty interesting. But yeah, that's pretty much my little piece right here. On top of the stupid little delay that my computer is freaking causing because of my stupid mind. But yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on it, is that I can imagine with the announcement we're either going to get a spin-off that would focus more on either Aizakawa or Zenigata. And so finally, we shall end things off with Matt's pick of the week. Now, with my pick of the week, this is a bit of an old news, and a lot of people are saying that it's already been done, it's already been said, but this is not necessarily what I want to talk about. Now, of course, we all know that Comcast is buying DreamWorks Animation. The news right here that I'm going to say is that it's official. They have officially purchased DreamWorks Animation for $3.8 billion. The deal has been set, and now DreamWorks Animation is officially going to be under the umbrella of NBC Universal. So in the future, we will be seeing DreamWorks Animation films under Universal Pictures, right next to what they already have with Illumination Entertainment, with the Minion movies and with the Secret Life of Pets films and stuff like that. So that has officially been done. But also, after they announced that, a day later, they have also announced the brand new leaders of who's going to be in charge of DreamWorks Animation. Now, they have stated before that the president of DreamWorks Animation, Ann Daly, will be stepping down, and taking their place is going to be Bonnie Arnold and Mirel Soria. Now, if you guys don't know who these people are, Bonnie and Mirel are producers at DreamWorks Animation. Specifically with Bonnie, however, she actually was a producer in several different places, and she was a producer both at Disney and Pixar, so she has a bit of an experience being a producer around animation, and pretty much this is her biggest responsibility. She will now go and report to Universal Pictures to the chairman, Donna Langley. And on top of that, there will also be Maggie Cohn. By the way, I'm going to take my source here from Variety. Head of Animation TV will lead a newly integrated combination of the television animation shops for DreamWorks and Universal. She will report to Universal Film Entertainment Group Chairman Jeff Shell. And other news, other leaders who are going to be there. On top of that, there's also the joint games unit, along with digital and consumer products for Universal and DreamWorks, will be headed by Vince Clausen, NBC Universal's brand development president. Also, on top of that, there is something that we all know that's going to happen, but now it has officially been set that Jeffrey Katzenberg will be stepping down as the CEO of DreamWorks Animation, and he will now become the chairman of DreamWorks New Media, which takes a look into Awesomeness TV and Nova. And with that said, the only thing that they don't know what's going to be happening for now is going to be regarding the role of Chris Meledandri. I've already talked about this before, that Universal is trying to think about having Chris Meledandri be both the CEO of Illumination Entertainment and DreamWorks Animation, but nothing has been confirmed just yet. We don't know what Chris Meledandri is going to do, so we'll have to wait and see what the reports are going to be in there. And on top of that, before I go into anything, actually, I just thought about this. I want to go into Cartoon Brew, and I want to show you guys a little something that is very, like, heartwarming. It's actually very, very nice. And this is actually a little bit of a thank you note coming from an artist at DreamWorks Animation. And this is actually called, is it long? No, it's not. Okay, it's not. It's not long. Now, this is coming from, taking my source here from Cartoon Brew. It's a little message saying, "Thank you, Jeffrey Katzenberg," by Nigel W. Tierney. Today I watched from a distance as Jeffrey Katzenberg left the DreamWorks Animation campus for the last time as our intrepid and beloved CEO. There was no pomp and circumstances, just a lonely JK, who slowly meandered over his Tesla with a backpack hanging loosely over his shoulder. Please excuse the emotional stream of consciousness to follow. Tomorrow we'll kick off our first town hall meeting with our new NBC Universal leadership. This new replacement from our old JK debriefs makes it difficult to not feel uncertain of the changes ahead. The only thing that I know for certain is that the NBC Universal leadership has some very large white sneakers to fill. I initially started writing this wanting to say something brief to thank Jeffrey for all he had done for the movie industry, but I couldn't talk about his accomplishments without selfishly personalizing it. For the past 8 years that I have worked at DreamWorks, I've always known that Jeffrey fostered the most compelling environment that a corporation could offer. Jeffrey was always accessible, and it is with his accessibility that I will miss the most. I appreciate and tried to never take for granted, whether it was from his daily JK blog emails, to more impressively just being able to stop and talk to him in the cafeteria about anything that this silly Irishman could conjure. I still can't believe that I would easily and often send one of the most influential men in Hollywood emails that would immediately be met with a personal response. Emails such as a poorly photoshopped flyer with Jeffrey as a leprechaun for a St. Patrick's Day party I was throwing, gleefully asking if he found the flyer too cheeky, as if he wanted to come. Even now, on his last day, he happily obliged me by doing another Snapchat with me using the puppy filter. Now I know I should have used Face Swap instead, but that puppy filter is a classic. DreamWorks has both directly and indirectly have been responsible for some of my biggest life moments. Moments like marrying the woman of my dreams, becoming the father of the coolest son, and creating some of the strongest friendships I have ever had. I have been at my heaviest weight from eating so much free food, and have been at my healthiest weight from the on-campus boot camp and the on-campus nutritionist. I'm currently somewhere in the middle. I helped organize the engagement of one of my best friends as Jeffrey let him fly a helicopter on campus. The fact that I could stay late after work with fellow DreamWorks and subversively build a comedy club is not only a ridiculous exclusive perk, but it is a true example of a fun place to work, hence why it is called the JK Comedy Club. DreamWorks has allowed me to learn and sculpt new passions, from taking my first improv class provided by the Artistic Development Program to filming my first comedy sketch on campus with the film group, all of which sent me down a rabbit hole pursuing a life of comedy. I dressed as Burning Man Jeffrey while hosting a Halloween costume contest. I have tasted some of the finest whiskey in the world thanks to the on-campus Whiskey Society. I have worked alongside artists who shaped my childhood. I witnessed President Obama address us to the nation. I have met a plethora of heroes icons throughout Jeffrey's hosted Dream Talks, movie premieres, artistic development talks, and just directly working with them. I rocked out with Hans Zimmer on the parking lot roof. I walked on the red carpet with Dustin Hoffman and Jack Black, and even stole one of Justin Timberlake's cookies, all thanks to cats. Speaking of cookies, I will miss looking at Jeffrey's signature on the card that will accompany with my future birthday cookies. Now, as a husband and a dad, the DreamWorks family spirit is what matters to me the most. DreamWorks provided me with far more than the fundamental finances I need to support my family. The fact that I could take my wife and son on campus for a movie screening to walk around exploring the koi pond or just grab a coffee and cake pop has been so important to me and growing my relationship with the family. Even the most recent moment of joy I experienced with my 3-year-old son this past weekend, where he didn't want to turn off the Kung Fu Panda 3 credits until he saw his daddy's name appear. This post couldn't possibly contain all the moments that I cherish, nor would you want to read them. But if you made it this far, I would like to finish by saying that all of this is not only because Jeffrey allowed it to happen at DreamWorks, but because he pursued it to happen. JK cultivated this type of engagement and culture, to which I am sincerely grateful. Thank you very much, Jeffrey Katzenberg. You truly admire, and I will greatly miss having you around. Oh my god. That is so... Dude. That message right there. So much heart. So much passion. And it really does say a lot. And honestly, this will actually make me miss Jeffrey Katzenberg being in charge of DreamWorks Animation. Because looking back at it, Jeffrey was the guy that really brought DreamWorks Animation to one of the biggest names next to Disney and Pixar. I don't think there was any other company that was pretty much in such competition, a serious threat to Disney in the animation industry, bringing out such huge franchises like Shrek, Madagascar, Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon, and so much other films. I mean, like, Jeffrey really did a lot for DreamWorks Animation, and now that we are officially entering upon a brand new chapter to DreamWorks Animation, I don't know how it's going to be, but man, I honestly, right now, I think I am going to miss the old DreamWorks Animation. Like, this was, like, looking back, this actually was the DreamWorks Animation that I grew up with. And now that we are going to see a new one that's going to be going on, we don't know how that is actually going to happen. Now, I just want to mention right now that in terms of the movies, what's going to happen to them, we are not going to see a DreamWorks Animation film under the Universal banner until like 2019. The movies like in this year, like Trolls, the ones in 2017 and the ones in 2018, they're still going to be under 20th Century Fox. So things aren't really going to really be in traction until in 2019, when we're really going to see what Universal has done with DreamWorks Animation. But yeah, honestly, right now, I really do feel like I'm going to miss the old DreamWorks, you know? And it's great to know that, like, the animators had so much joy and they had so much fun working at DreamWorks Animation during that era with Jeffrey Katzenberg. You know, I'm going to miss them too. Honestly, I never worked there, but I'm going to miss them too. And, you know, I will always cherish the movies that they have brought out. Well, not all, but some at least. But yeah, basically that's pretty much what's going on. And let's just see how it goes with Comcast now that they have DreamWorks Animation. But anyways, that is pretty much it that I've got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at anime505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be wonderful. Or if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes!